Babcock soon soured on his new job, however. He quickly came to resent Burnside staff, which he claimed was a worthless and inefficient bunch. The Army commander's aides viewed Babcock as a holdover from Pinkerton's operation, which they had distrusted. When Burnside's chief of staff one day made a disparaging remark about Pinkerton, Babcock undiplomatically let him know he resented it. Burnside's spy chief got the silent treatment after that. Babcock identified a double agent who had worked for Pinkerton and spotted him lurking around their Falmouth headquarters. But otherwise, Burnside and his senior aides ignored his small operation. Babcock's men weren't allowed to interrogate runaway slaves, refugees, and prisoners brought in. The interrogation summaries he saw from others were useless, he thought. Nor was he able to investigate shady civilians and hucksters who infested their camp. Burnside paid dearly for not using the intelligence capability he had at hand. The general failed to detect that Lee did not have Jackson's force at Fredericksburg until November 30th. The Potomac Army commander could have attacked across the river before then, when Lee had only half his army there with Longstreet's corps. When Lee's army was finally assembled in front of him, Burnside, who did not use his cavalry to gather information, who had left Unionists around Fredericksburg untapped for information, and who did not send up his balloons until the last minute, mistakenly believed that the bulk of the Confederate force was arranged 10 to 15 miles downriver of Fredericksburg, and that the rebel position on Lee's left flank behind the town was relatively weak. Just the opposite was the case. The Marye's Heights Ridge behind Fredericksburg was far more heavily defended by the rebels than the less formidable ground on the Confederate right south of the town.